In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. This morning, we hear these words from St. Paul. Brethren, we who are strong ought to bear with the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. So we're being asked not to please ourselves, but to please our neighbor. And it's important to note the last part of what St. Paul says here. We please our neighbor for his spiritual good. As he says, for his good leading to edification, that he might be edified by what we do. Edified, of course, meaning built up, not torn down, built up. We who are parents know that not everything that might please our children in the moment would be for their edification, their building up, their improvement. So, we are to be selfless, not to seek to please ourselves, but we're not to be man-pleasers either, which means, you know, in its scriptural definition, that would be basically trying to get other people to like us by being really nice and this kind of thing. You know, doing what they want so that maybe they'll give us what we want. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about genuine love, which always goes along with truth and is for the other's edification. Whenever it is for our neighbor's edification, then we try to do what's pleasing to them rather than what pleases ourselves. Of course, this means we don't go along with any kind of lies or encourage our neighbor to do anything evil. Absolutely not. But many times, there are neutral situations, let's say. For example, I like to put peanut butter in the pantry. You like to put it in the refrigerator. Is there any spiritual value to whether the peanut butter is in the pantry or in the refrigerator? No. There's not. So I should do what you like in that case. Not please myself. I should let it go. Why insist on something that has no ultimate value? I should do what pleases you. And brothers and sisters, it might seem silly, but all day long, every day, there are these kinds of things that come up where we get crossways with other people and we insist on our way. Why? Does it have any eternal value? Does it get us any closer to the kingdom of heaven? No. On the other hand, there are many choices that do have spiritual value, where there is a clear right or wrong, where it is in accordance with the Word of God or opposed to it, where it is in accordance with nature, with what God has designed, or opposed to it. And according to St. Maximus the Confessor, you know, all sin is simply unnatural. It's opposed to nature. God created us with a particular purpose and design, and when we go against that, it's unnatural, and that's what constitutes sin. So the principle would be, just as St. Paul says, to do what is pleasing to the other for his good, leading to his edification. A simple way to put this would be this. Does this thing that I'm thinking about doing, or maybe this thing that I'm thinking about saying to the other person, does it help or hinder my neighbor on his or her path to the kingdom of heaven? And normally, what helps the other person also helps me. And what hinders him or her also hinders me. So this is a good way to think about it. Does it help us to draw closer to the kingdom of heaven. In the case of the peanut butter, my letting go of my own will helps me to draw closer to the kingdom of heaven. And my sacrificing something that really doesn't matter, ultimately, but it's my will that I'm giving up, that might inspire the other person to draw near to the kingdom of heaven. So in that case, something neutral becomes something good. It could also go the other way, obviously. So this is a very good question to ask ourselves in every instance, every moment of our life. Does the action I'm about to take, or do these words that I'm about to say, or even does this thought that I'm thinking contribute to my salvation? Does it lead me to the kingdom of heaven? Does it help me to draw closer to Christ, or does it do the opposite? I want to give three examples from the life of St. John Maximovich, St. John the Wonder Worker of Shanghai and San Francisco, as illustrations of when and how pleasing others can be for their edification, or when and how we might need to displease others sometimes for their edification. So the first story from St. John's life is really something that took place maybe multiple times, but it was when he was serving as archbishop, and there were children in his community who loved him greatly. And so they wanted to honor him and show him their love, and so they would do things for him, like make things. And so, for example, they would make out of paper a crown, you know, the bishop's crown that the bishop wears during the service. They would make him a paper crown, and they would present that to St. John with love, and he, with also great love, would receive the crown, and he would put it on, and he would wear it around. So in this case, it was right and good to please those children, you know, to wear that paper crown, and even to wear it out in front of other people publicly. Now, his parish council didn't like this very much. They thought that it wasn't proper for him to go around in a paper crown. This was kind of a man-pleasing tendency that existed. So St. John chose to displease his parish council and to please the innocent, pure-hearted children who had done this out of love. And so he edified everyone by doing this. Another example. There was a young boy, and this boy went on to become an archpriest in the Russian Orthodox Church outside of Russia. But when he was a young boy, he lived there in San Francisco with his family. And at one point, he had noticed that St. John was very ascetical and was a very strict faster, and he wanted to imitate St. John in his fasting. But he was still young, and he lived at home with his parents, and so his parents would serve a meal, but he would refuse to eat the meal, even though maybe it was fasting food or whatever, but he wanted to fast even more strictly, so he wouldn't eat the meal. And so this went on for a little while, where he was kind of opposing his parents' will, disobeying them, and just choosing in a self-willed way to fast more than what was appropriate for him at his age, and what was, you know, the decision of his parents. And so his parents finally spoke to St. John, and they explained what was happening, and that, you know, he was trying to imitate St. John, but in the meantime, he was disobeying them. So St. John called this little boy named George into his office, and he began to speak to him, and he said, you know, fasting is very good, it's very important, it's a way we make a sacrifice for the Lord. But he said, you know what's even more important than fasting? Obedience. And in fact, the right kind of fasting is an act of obedience, right? We obey the church, which gives us these fasting rules, so it's an expression of our obedience. So he said, yes, it's good that you have zeal and you want to fast, but it's even more important that you obey your parents. And so if they tell you that this is what you're eating for dinner, that's what you're eating for dinner. And he said, in order to teach you this lesson, I have a special treat for you. And this happened to be during Great Lent. And St. John had a plate there in his office that was piled up with sausage. And he said, now, George, you're going to eat this sausage. You see, St. John, in that case, couldn't please George. He had to do the opposite of what George thought he wanted. But in the end, George received what he really wanted. He was corrected and set straight, and, you know, he continued on a good path. Last story is this. There was a formal dinner that St. John was invited to, and there were people seated around the table eating dinner. And right across from St. John was a certain woman, and she's the one who later told this story. Well, at some point, and from the story, it sounds like it was probably like during the first course of the meal, a soup course. Everybody was eating soup. Well, this woman stopped, and she took out her purse, or her little makeup bag, or whatever she had, and she took out her lipstick, and she started putting lipstick on her lips. So St. John was looking at her. He didn't say anything, but the next spoonful of soup that he got, he took it towards his mouth, but before it reached his mouth, he turned it and just let it pour down his beard. Now remember, St. John was a holy fool, and so he would do things like this sometimes. So he was taking a soup, and everybody around him was appalled. What in the world? You know, has he lost his mind? You know, does he realize what's happening? You're getting, you know, soup, it's getting on your beard. Everybody was kind of shocked and appalled, and what's going on here? Well, he didn't have to say anything to that woman. But she reflected on it, and she recognized that St. John was giving her a lesson. You know, in the eyes of the world, let's say it's socially acceptable, maybe, in a situation like that, at a dinner, to stop and to put makeup on or lipstick on or something like that. And it's not socially acceptable to pour soup on your beard. But why? From a Christian perspective, we should ask the question, why is the one okay and the other not? You know, St. John, and this is what the woman reflected on, it was like a comment on her act of, let's say, vanity, that she would kind of stop and in front of everybody make herself look nice, or what she thought was looking nice, whereas, you know, St. John was doing something that was the opposite of vanity, pouring the soup. And so he was showing that we should rethink how we look at things from a Christian perspective, and we should ask ourselves, is this action drawing me closer to the kingdom of heaven or not? Or not? St. John was reminding this woman and us to ask ourselves this question. In none of these cases was St. John pleasing himself. He lived an incredibly selfless life. He could be stern with people sometimes, strict sometimes. He wouldn't allow any talking in the altar except if it was absolutely necessary. But he was also incredibly loving, merciful, gentle, kind, constantly thinking of the other person, continually sacrificing himself on behalf of others. And in all cases, he discerned what was for the edification of the other. He pleased those whom pleasing would lift up, and sometimes he displeased those who were straying from the true path, but always with love and in order to bring them back. By the prayers of St. John the Wonder Worker, may we have the courage and the selflessness to follow his example, to please one another for each person's edification and all to the glory of God. Amen.